Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we're beginning in verse 35, and we're going through the first nine verses of chapter 13. Luke 12:35. This is God's word. "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you in prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming back to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my...
What do all these stories have in common, and why did we go over into chapter 13? What's with that? Well, all of these happened as recorded and teach us that we need to be ready for what's coming. And what's coming? Judgment. Repent. Judgment is coming. The first section, which is the longest, Jesus talks about watching and being ready for what's going to happen. When family is coming to our house and we're going to have a meal or whatever together, I'm often doing my steps because I walk around inside the house in order to try and keep my heart pumping. But we are able to look from the living room, through the foyer, down the front porch, and onto the driveway. And so the closer it gets for the anticipated time of arrival, the more my loop tightens so that I am repeatedly going by that end of the living room because I want to see when they arrive. I'm eager for their arrival. Why? Because I love them. So there's one reason why we should be watching for the Lord's return, and that is we love him. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you know him, you love him. If you don't love him, you don't know him. So that's one reason to be on the lookout. This is someone you love. And he uses, for example, that of a bunch of groomsmen who are best friends with the groom, and they're ready whenever he gets back. And Jesus says something absolutely astounding, and that is that if you are watching for him, longing for his return, when he comes, he will actually serve us. Certainly fits with what happened at the Last Supper. Jesus took the role of the lowest ranking servant and did the job that nobody wanted to do, washing his disciples' feet. And he says, those who are ready when he comes are going to be served by him. Just astounding. I mean, we owe him everything, and he knows it. Why would he do that? Because he loves us. Just as we are looking and watching for his return because we love him, he says he's going to take care of us, serve us, wait on us in the sense of serving because he loves us. Do you think God loves you? I think he loves me because, I mean, you may not have noticed, but I'm really sweet and cute and adorable, frankly. You might want to recheck that. Maybe you're using the wrong measuring stick. God doesn't love us because we're lovable. God loves us because God is love. And it's absolutely miraculous that he would love us. But he does. He really does. So you have, on the one hand, people who are deceived by the enemy into thinking that they deserve God's love. And you have, on the other hand, because Satan's a judo expert, you have, on the other hand, people who, no matter how many times it says that he loves us, no matter how many times he shows that he loves us, not me. I don't deserve that. And so some folks are trying hard to tell us on the radio and Christian songs, supposedly, that, oh, but you do deserve it. You're a wonderful person. You're more wonderful than you realize. God loves everything about you. Wouldn't change a thing. I hope he changes a lot about me. Because I want to be like Jesus, and I know that I fall short. But instead of being convinced that I deserve God's love, I need to embrace the truth that I don't deserve it, but that he loves me anyway. That he died to save sinners like me, like you. So don't fall for the idea that you're wonderful and you deserve it. And don't fall for the idea that because you're not wonderful on your own, God couldn't love you. He does. He really does. He loves you. And you need to believe that truth because God is the one who says so. Now, we need to be watching because we love him. And he's promised that he's coming again. But there's another reason to watch. Every decade or so, we get a news flash that there are some escaped prisoners, some fugitive from justice, possibly in the area. And you need to be on the alert because they're going to be looking for a place to hang out, hide out, etc. Even though it is unlikely that some fugitive from justice would end up at my house, I am fully armed and ready if somebody comes. And my family also knows how to use weapons, and we have more than one. Why would you bring that up, Pastor? Are you afraid somebody's going to try and get at you? No. I'm telling you that Jesus here says that if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. Why? because he would have stopped him on the porch. Okay? You're not going to break into the house if the owner is expecting you and armed. And that's what Jesus says. Well, I thought we were talking about looking because you love him. If you love him, you should be on the lookout because he's coming and it's going to be wonderful for those of us who love him. But if you don't love him, you need to know this. Jesus says the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So if you're in the group that loves Jesus, be on the lookout. And if you're in the group that doesn't love Jesus, you've been warned. You better be on the lookout. You won't be ready because when he comes, there's no stopping him. We need to be ready and watching. And the way to do that, Jesus goes on and explains, because Peter asked him, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And Jesus, instead of just giving a short response like, I was telling this to everyone, or I was telling this just to you guys, Jesus responds with another story. And the next story has to do with how we are to be ready. The means by which we demonstrate readiness is through obedience to what he's already told us. Jesus switches to a story about a man who puts a faithful and wise manager in charge of the servants to take care of the servants. And if he does that, he's going to be rewarded. But Jesus says, but there are also people who've been put in charge, and because it takes a long time for the master to come back, they say, I'm tired of having to do this routine following the instruction. I think it would be more fun to start taking advantage of other people, beating up on other servants, and eating and drinking and getting drunk. Do you think there really are people who have been invested with authority from God? Read Romans 13 about the nature of government and those in authority. Do you think it's possible that some people who have been made stewards of authority use that authority selfishly and taking advantage of other people? Not only happens in government, it happens in churches. It happens in businesses. It happens in families. If you use your authority not in the way that God commands, which is to serve, but you use it in order to exploit, Jesus says you need to know that the master is going to return and you're going to be caught off guard. And those who have exploited others using the authority they were given, they will be punished severely. Jesus says, cut in pieces and assigned a place with the unbelievers. So this could include people who are, at least on an intellectual level, believers. Yeah. You know who else believes the Bible's true? Satan. He knows it's true. Of course he does. Do you think he knows that the miracles really happen? Yeah, he doesn't have any question about that. He saw them. It's not enough to have an intellectual faith, to believe that it's true. Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus where he is your Lord and Savior. So, Jesus says, the servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will not be punished. Is that what he says? Does it say will not be punished, or does it say will be beaten with few blows? Hint, beaten with few blows. Okay? In other words, these people are going to be punished severely. These people are also going to be punished. Because even though they didn't have the manual, they didn't know all the instructions, they still did stuff they knew they shouldn't do. What about the person out in the jungle who's never heard? He's a sinner. Well, some of those people might be really nice. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. That's not just the heart of religious people. It is the heart of humans. All of us, do things we know we shouldn't do. The atheist does things that he knows he really shouldn't do. Everybody messes up, and everybody knows they've messed up. The problem is whether or not we're going to take it seriously and realize there is a God, and I need mercy. So everyone's going to get punished unless they're ready for the judgment. Well, how can you be ready for the judgment if everybody deserves to be punished? Because Jesus went to the cross to take our punishment. Now, Jesus then says, I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo where he took our punishment. And how distressed I am until it's completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. Is that because that was Jesus' goal? Not so much. It's because that was the inevitable outcome of Jesus coming into our world and showing us what perfection looks like. The response of most people was to not want to see it. I don't want to know. And so as a result of Jesus coming, there's no neutral ground. You are either a follower of Jesus or you're his enemy still. Read the end of John chapter 3. The one who trusts in the Son has eternal life already. The one who does not trust in the Son, who does not obey the Son, same word, that one is already under the wrath of God. So, it's going to divide families. And you've got to decide which side you're on. Well, my family doesn't really, that's tragic. It's hard, it's painful. Jesus said there's going to be division. It's inevitable. You have to decide which side you're on. And then Jesus talks about interpreting the signs. And he says, don't be a hypocrite. If you open your eyes, you can see what's going on. All the miracles that Jesus did and people were still trying to figure out if maybe he was the Messiah. Okay. There's only one reason they didn't see. They were going like this. It was deliberate, willful ignorance. Then Jesus is told about some folks who have been killed by Pilate. Now, what about that? How could God let something like that happen? Jesus says, do you think that that happened because they were more wicked than the other people in that area? I tell you the truth, no. But unless you repent, you will all perish. And then Jesus brings up another illustration of a bunch of people who are killed in a tragic mishap. Things like that happen, earthquakes, floods, all kinds of things. And we say, how could God let that happen? It is only the mercy of God that it hasn't happened to all of us already. It's only the mercy of God. Unless you repent, Jesus says, you will all likewise perish. Those who are beset by some tragedy, it's not because they're worse than us. Don't think that you're better than other people. Cling to Jesus. He is our hope. He is our righteousness. He is the only one who saves. Jesus tells about the fruit tree, the fig tree. That was a symbol of Israel. Jesus says there's a limited opportunity to respond to the grace that you've been given. The fig tree that didn't bear fruit got cut down. And someone comes along when it's about to be cut down and says, wait, let's just give it one more year. And the owner says, okay, one more year. And then, if it doesn't bear fruit, it's going to be destroyed. In 70 AD, just as Jesus had said, Rome utterly destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple itself. Because when Messiah came, the response of the religious establishment and the governing authorities and the majority of people was to say, not what we were looking for. What are you looking for? What are you hoping for? Somebody to just do what you want? Instead, I beg you, surrender your life to Him. Ask Him to govern you, to rule your life, to guide your steps, to show you what you should do. And then, by His grace, through the power of the Spirit, do what He says.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.